Let's take our Bibles and go to Galatians chapter 3. We are in the heart of this correctional epistle. What occurred in Galatians 1 and 2 was a very clear-cut revelation concerning Paul's apostleship and his authority in the church. That had been called in question by his critics, by the legalists, the religionists of his day who were pursuing him, persecuting him, speaking ill of him, and also were spreading doctrinal error. Remember the group that had come down from Judea that said that you had to be circumcised to be saved? The group that followed him from city to city in Galatia, that were speaking ill of him and Barnabas and their doctrine. Well, here as we get into Galatians chapter 3, this is the heart of the correction of the doctrinal error that these people were spreading. And very evidently, that which they had spread was being embraced and believed by the Galatians. Because it says in verse 1, "O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you." These words, "hath been evidently set forth," are one Greek word which refers to serving public notice, like a public notice has been served that Jesus Christ was crucified. Someone has bewitched them from the clear-cut doctrine of what Jesus Christ accomplished by his crucifixion. You know, that they were not obeying the truth. Verse 2. "This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith?" Now, which was it? How was it that you got the gift of Holy Spirit? Did you get it by doing the works of the law? The answer to that emphatically is no. Of course not. How did you receive the Spirit? You received it by believing, and the believing that comes from hearing the Word of God. Now, what is going to be so evident as we go through Galatians chapter 3 is that this relates directly back to Romans doctrine. How about Romans 10:17? Be a good little reference to write in your Bible here in Galatians 3:2, that believing comes by hearing, and hearing by what? The Word of God. So this is believing that proceeds from hearing the Word of God, and in context, hearing Romans 10, 9, and 10. Hearing that Jesus Christ is Lord, and that God raised him from the dead. When you believe that, what did you get? You got the gift of Holy Spirit. That's how you got it. You know, cutting to the heart of the matter, was it the works of the law that saved you? Absolutely not. It was by believing the Word of God that you heard. Verse 3. "Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh?" Hey, you began as a Christian by getting the Spirit. You began as a Christian by believing. Are you now going to be perfected by the works of the flesh? Is that how you're going to mature as a Christian? Is that how you're going to grow up? No, very evidently, you should continue in the Spirit. You should continue in believing God's Word. Verse 4, Have ye suffered so many things in vain or for no reason, for no profit? If it be yet in vain. You know, if they were to continue in the works of the law, it would be as if they had not been saved. It would be as if there was no reason. No reason for them to, you know, have suffered. No reason for them to have, you know, gone through what they went through. Boy, this just, you know, cuts to the very heart of the matter. It confronts the air that was being spread and embraced by these foolish Galatians. Verse 5, he therefore that ministers to you the Spirit and works miracles among you, does he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? You know, how is the Spirit ministered to people? Is it ministered because they have kept the law of Moses? No. No, but what is how people get the Spirit is when they believe. The believing that proceeds from hearing the Word of God. And the same thing that produces miracles. You know, miracles come from believing. The believing that proceeds from the hearing of the Word of God. Now, verse 6 gives reference to Abraham. And this section that we're going to look at in this session refers back very pointedly to Romans chapter 4. In fact, it would be well advised for you as a student in the Bible, when we finish this, go back and read starting, the last number of verses in Romans 3, and read Romans chapter 4. Verse 6, it says, even as Abraham believed God, and it was counted, it was reckoned to him for righteousness. You know, how did Abraham receive righteousness? By believing. This whole section deals with the heart of Romans doctrine that they had left, that they had not been practicing. Romans doctrine that justification, that righteousness comes by faith, comes by believing. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, that they are which are of believing, the same are the children of Abraham. Romans 4 describes Abraham as the father of all them that believe. So people that believe even to this day are children of Abraham. And we are following in the line, in the example, in the path that Abraham initiated, believing God. And the scripture, verse 8, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through believing, preach before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be what? Blessed. And this goes all the way back to Genesis chapter 12. That in thee, in Abraham, would all nations be blessed. Why? Because all nations could believe God's word, and all nations could thereby be justified. By the believing that comes from hearing the word of God. So then, they, verse 9, which be of believing, are blessed with faithful, with believing Abraham. You know, in thee and Abraham should all nations be blessed. So now, even to this day, till 2010, people who believed God's word are blessed with Abraham. We're descendants of Abraham by believing, and we're blessed because we've believed God's word, like Abraham was blessed. Verse 10, for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For as it is written, cursed is everyone that continues not in the things which are written in the book of the law to do them. This is recorded back in Deuteronomy, back in the law, that if you didn't continue in the law, that if you didn't continue to do what the law said, you were going to be cursed. So as many who are under the works of the law are under the curse. They're under the curse of the law because nobody keeps the law perfectly. Quite a contrast between being blessed by believing God's word or being cursed by trying to carry out the works of the law. Which would you rather be, blessed or cursed? Verse 11, for that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by believing. Romans 1 reiterates that. This comes from the Old Testament, that the just shall live by believing, not by the works of the law. Verse 12, and the law is not of believing, but the man that does them shall live in them. So there's a difference between works here, talking about what a man does, and believing. The law is not of believing. It's of works. Verse 13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For as it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. Once again, a citation from the Old Testament, from the law of Moses, that cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. Well, Jesus Christ did it for the godly reason as being our substitute. Because it says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. And that's that word hooper, which means as a substitute for us, in our place, in our stead. That's why Jesus Christ was cursed. He took the curse of the law upon him for us, in our place. You see how this relates back to Romans doctrine? Jesus Christ's substitution for us. Verse 14, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through believing. Boy, oh boy, this is just so airtight. This is just so logical. All the way through the scripture, that the just shall live by believing, that you're justified by believing. Abraham set the pattern, and as a result, all them that believe are children of Abraham and are blessed with believing Abraham. We've got the Spirit not by the works of the law, but by believing. Verse 15, brethren, I speak after the manner of men. Though it be but a man's covenant, yet it be confirmed, no man disannuls or adds thereto. Now, he's using the kind of contracts or agreements, covenants, that men would enter into as an example. That's what it means when it says, but I speak after the manner of men. This would have been something that people were well aware of, that if you enter into a contract or into a covenant and it's confirmed, then, somebody can't come along later and, say it never happened and disannul it or add thereto. Now, the point is, back to Abraham. Look at verse 16. Now, to Abraham and his promise, and to his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. This is the promise that was made to Abraham, that of his loins would come the Christ. Okay, now this is a covenant that God entered into with Abraham. This is a promise made. This is a covenant made. Remember what we learned in the previous verse, that nobody can add to it and nobody can disannul it. Verse 17, and this I say, that the covenant, which was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul, that it should make the promise of none effect. You see that? What it's talking about, the covenant, verse 17, is the covenant that God made with Abraham. And it was confirmed before of God in Christ. Now, the law came much later. How much later? 430 years later. And that law can't disannul the covenant, the promise that was made to Abraham. That it should make the promise, that promise made to Abraham, that of his loins would come the Christ. The law can't disannul, and the law can't make it of none effect. Verse 18, for if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more of promise. But God gave it to Abraham by what? Promise. Boy, oh boy, do you see how airtight this is? These guys are coming along saying that you got to keep the law. The law came 430 years after the promise of Christ was made to Abraham. And Abraham received that promise by believing. Just like we received that promise by believing. So what does the law have to do with it? The law can't disannul that promise. It can't add to it. Verse 19, it says, wherefore then serves the law? It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made, and it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. You know, what serves the law? Well, the law was given, you know, for a couple major reasons. As it says here, it was added because of transgressions. The law came in beside the promise that was made to Abraham, basically to keep the Christ line alive. Deuteronomy 6 tells us that the law came to keep Israel alive. Because of their transgressions, because of their sins, they needed boundaries set, which the law gave, so that they wouldn't die, so that Christ could come. You know, also the law magnified their sins. Like it says here, it came in because of transgressions. You know, it magnified the sin nature of man, showing the need for a Messiah, for a Redeemer, for a Savior. So the law came in beside this promise that was made 430 years before to believing Abraham. Verse 20, it says, now a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. You know, this has been handled, can be understood as God is one of the parties in this mediation. Well, who's the other party? The other party's man. And who's the mediator? Well, according to 1 Timothy chapter 2, the mediator is Jesus Christ. He's the one that has brought man to God. So God's one of the parties in this mediation. The mediation is between God and man. And Jesus Christ is the mediator. So it says in verse 21, is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. Don't even let it be spoken. Don't even think that thought. Of course the law is not against the promises of God. For if there had been a law given, which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by believing concerning Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. The law, when rightly understood, just should have shown, to God's people their need for a Savior. And then so much of the law of Moses is a teaching concerning the coming Christ. When you read in the law of Moses about the sacrifices and about the priesthood and about the tabernacle, it's all pointing towards Christ. So, of course, the law is not against the promises of God. When rightly understood, it should magnify the promise of God concerning the Christ. Verse 22, again, the scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by believing of concerning Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up under the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Now, this, of course, is a difficult verse of Scripture, because this is talking about before faith came. Well, you know, if I'm reading my Bible right, believing has been in extent ever since Adam, ever since Eve, hasn't it? I mean, when God said to Adam, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but in the day that thou eatest thereof, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt surely die. I mean, Adam had the choice whether to believe that or not, didn't he? So did Eve. So believing has been, you know, a characteristic of mankind since the beginning. I mean, Abraham believed God. Noah believed God. So this must be understood figuratively. And I know that it's because it's a difficult verse that people have handled it in different ways. But I think in context, and I think in light of the New Testament, that believing simply is stated here for what believing brings. And we've seen in this chapter that what believing concerning Jesus Christ brings is the Spirit of God. How did you receive the Spirit of God? Didn't receive it by the works of the law, but by believing that comes from hearing the Word of God. So, in other words, it says, before faith came, or in other words, before the new birth was available, before Pentecost, before the Spirit of God came by birth, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the believing which should afterwards be revealed. You know, the law was in extent before the Spirit of God came, before the New Testament came. And the New Testament is the testament, the covenant of the Spirit. Verse 24, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by believing. Again, the continued theme through here, related back to Romans doctrine, is justification by believing. Now here, the law is described as our schoolmaster, our teacher. Now, a teacher teaches, and what the law taught primarily was about Christ. I mentioned that earlier, about three-quarters of the law or so, all is teaching concerning the coming of Christ. But also, this word schoolmaster implies not only teaching, but also a disciplinarian. And that's part of the law of Moses, was to preserve Israel alive, to discipline Israel so that the Christ could come. You know, you read in the Old Testament about, you know, what they could eat, for example, or who they could marry, or, you know, other forms of discipline. But this was all to keep Israel alive so that Christ could come. So the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we should be justified by believing. But after that faith is come, you know, after that Jesus Christ has believed God's word And now the Spirit of God is available. After that faith that brings the Spirit is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. Praise the Lord. We're no longer under the law. For ye are all the children of God by believing in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither bond nor free. There's neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. You know, this is setting the foundation for understanding the mystery. That it no longer matters whether you're Jew or Gentile. Now, I can say those words very easily, and you can read them from the pages of your Bible very easily, but these were very controversial words. They were very difficult words in the first century. Remember, Jew and Gentile were separated by law. The Gentiles could not, you know, come into the camp of Israel. They were dogs. They were unclean. They were the heathen. And part of this was that discipline of the law to keep Israel alive, because God knew that the Gentiles would be an unsavory, to say the least, influence upon his people, Israel. So they were separated by law for 1,600 years. Now Paul comes along and is teaching that Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to all them that believe, that there no longer is a distinction between Jew and Gentile. And this is what drove those Judaizers nuts. Insane. They wanted to murder Paul. But yet it's the truth of God's word. That because we've received the Spirit of God, we all are the children of God. There's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither bond nor free. Now, you know, by historical estimates, at the time of the writing of the New Testament, about a third of the people were slaves, were bondsmen. And then about two-thirds were free. Can you, you know, just think of how radical this statement is, how controversial this would be. Hey, in Christ Jesus, there is neither bond nor free. And it says there's neither male nor female. You know, but yet within the body of Christ, this is the truth of God's word. The distinctions that people make don't matter when it comes to the church of God. Shouldn't matter whether you're male nor female. You know, one of the issues of our day and some of the so-called Christian denominations is whether women can be ordained as priests or as ministers. Well, maybe they should read their Bible. It says in the Church of God, there's no distinction between male or female. Now, there might be distinctions when it comes to which bathroom you're going to use. Might be distinctions, should be, whether what kind of clothes you wear. But in the body of Christ, spiritually, there's no difference between male nor female, between bond nor free, between Jew nor Gentile, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. In verse 29, it says, and if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Boy, how well, how thoroughly this has dealt with the question of whether the works of the law are necessary for salvation and after salvation in your walk with God. What is necessary is not the works of the law, but is believing. Believing concerning Christ. That's how you receive the Spirit, and that's how we're to continue to live as God's children, as the justified ones, for the just shall live by believing.